Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, we will conduct a question-answer session. At that time, to ask a question, dial star one on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to introduce your host, Mr. Michael Cook. Sir, you may begin.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Michael Cook in the Public Information Office. I'd like to thank everyone to today's web conference, the 2012 American Community Survey, ACS 5-Year Statistics. This is a pre-release webinar in anticipation for our national press release tomorrow on the ACS 5-Year. I'd like to welcome and introduce to you two presenters that we have today, Nicole Scanello, a survey statistician in our Social, Economic, and Housing Statistics Division, and our own very own Seth Amgott, Assistant Division Chief in the Public Information Office. Nicole will be giving you a quick presentation going over the ACS, the American Community Survey, talking to you about what it is, what it isn't, scope, the release that's coming up. And then Seth will be going through and highlighting a very important release that we have in addition to the ACS 5-Year, Census Explorer. It's a data access tool, and I won't take too much of his thunder away, but I'll let him get into that. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome everyone. Here's Nicole.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be presenting to you today. Before I begin, I'd like to say a special thank you to our American Community Survey respondents for their participation in the survey. Without them, we would not have these data, which are so important for America's communities. Here is an overview of what I'm going to cover today. First, I will talk about our upcoming ACS data releases. I will give you a very brief overview of the ACS, and then I'll provide some basics on ACS multi-year estimates and how to use them. This will give you a better understanding of what we are releasing tomorrow. Next, I will talk about the 5-year ACS geography and data products, including what's new and notable in tomorrow's release. Then I'll discuss how to access the 5-year data and where to find useful documentation about the ACS. And to conclude our webinar, Seth Amgott from the Public Information Office will talk about the new interactive 5-year tool, Census Explorer.
And just one quick housekeeping note that I forgot to mention. After both presentations, we will have a question and answer session, and at that point in time, we will take questions from the media first, then the general public. Nicole?
Tomorrow, we will be releasing the 2012 5-year ACS estimates. These estimates cover the 2008 through 2012 time period. This is the fourth release of 5-year ACS data, which consists of over 11 billion individual estimates and over 700,000 geographies. The release contains all geographic areas regardless of population size. The data are not being embargoed and will be publicly released on December 17th. Estimates are available in the form of data products on American FactFinder and in a summary file format, narrative profiles available through the ACS website, and also in a new interactive tool called the Census Explorer. We will show you how to access the estimates through all of these methods later in the presentation. Before we delve into the details of tomorrow's 5-year data release, I want to highlight some upcoming releases of the ACS Public Use Microdata Sample Files, also known as PUMs. The ACS PUMs files are a set of untabulated records about individual people or housing units that are created for Public Use Microdata Areas, or PUMAs. These files allow data users to create custom tables that are not available through pre-tabulated ACS data products. On December 17th, we will release the 2012 1-year PUMS file. On February 6th, the 2010 through 2012 3-year PUMS file will be released. And on March 6th, the 2008 through 2012 5-year PUMS file will come out. Please note the URL at the bottom of this slide for additional information on the PUMS files. Now I will give you an overview of the American Community Survey, also known as the ACS. The ACS is an ongoing survey that samples about 3.5 million addresses per year, making it the largest federal housing unit survey. The ACS is a nationwide survey designed to provide communities with reliable and timely demographic, housing, social, and economic data every year. The survey was fully implemented in 2005, and we publish estimates annually in the form of 1, 3, and 5-year estimates for small geographic areas and population groups. One thing that distinguishes ACS from other federal surveys is that you'll get data from much smaller pieces of geography and smaller groups than you will from other surveys. Now that we've discussed the basics of the ACS, I'd like to discuss multi-year estimates, which is what we are releasing tomorrow. All ACS estimates are period estimates. Period estimates describe the average characteristics of an area over a specific period of time, not a single point of time, as is the case with the decennial census. In the case of ACS one-year estimates, the period is the calendar year. The estimates in tomorrow's five-year release describe the population and housing characteristics from January 1, 2008 through December 31, 2012. Multi-year estimates are not an average of the one-year ACS estimates. The ACS survey data are pooled together across 36 months for the three-year data and 60 months for the five-year data. After the data are pooled together, they are updated with the geographic boundaries of the last year of the period and then assigned the appropriate weights to produce population and housing estimates. Weights are adjusted using the population and housing totals derived from the Census Bureau's Population Estimates Program. Income and dollar estimates are then adjusted for inflation. Now that we've discussed what multi-year estimates are and how they are created, we'll talk about when to use them. First, multi-year estimates must be used when no one-year estimate is available. Unless a geographic area has a population greater than or equal to 65,000, that geography will rely on multi-year estimates. Second, in general, you will want to use multi-year estimates when the margins of error for one-year estimates are larger than desired for your particular application. One example of this is analyzing small population groups due to the higher margins of error associated with them. Finally, if you are comparing several geographies and one or more of those geographies do not receive one-year estimates, you will have to use multi-year estimates. Multi-year estimates are an excellent source of data for making comparisons. You can compare across geographies, such as comparing all of the counties in the United States, and you can compare across subpopulations. It is important to note that data users should only compare non-overlapping time periods. The first opportunity to compare non-overlapping five-year periods will be with the release of the 2014 five-year estimates, when users will be able to compare the 2005 through 2009 period to the 2010 through 2014 period. One of the challenges for data users is how to compare geographic areas with different population sizes. Comparisons across different geographies should be made with estimates from the same time period, and by that I mean comparing three-year estimates to three-year estimates, comparing five-year estimates to five-year estimates. Users should not compare one-year estimates with multi-year estimates. Likewise, they should not compare three-year estimates to five-year estimates. We recommend comparing percents, means, medians, and rates instead of totals whenever possible. Since questions and content can change over time, I'd like to highlight a couple useful resources from the ACS website that can help data users make their comparisons. One of the resources available to data users is the Comparison Guidance Tool. Start at the ACS website, www.census.gov/ACS. From the navigation bar underneath the words American Community Survey, click on Guidance for Data Users, Comparing ACS Data, and the year you are interested in comparing. In this case, we selected 2012. The Comparison Guidance Tool shows specific subject area guidance for comparing ACS estimates back to Census 2000 and the 2010 Census, and one-year ACS estimates from year to year. As I mentioned earlier, there is not a non-overlapping five-year period to compare to the 2012 five-year ACS estimates, so users may be inclined to compare back to Census 2000, which is the last decennial census to contain detailed social, economic, and housing data. The ACS Census Table Comparison Tool helps data users find the equivalent census table in the ACS or vice versa. This tool is also accessible from the Guidance for Data Users section of the ACS website. Now I would like to talk about the geographies and products available in the five-year ACS data, as well as what is new and notable in this release. This release contains all geographic areas down to the block group level, which comprises over 700,000 geographic areas. Unlike the one-year and three-year ACS releases, geographies do not have to meet a particular population threshold in order to be published. Some of the geographies in this release include the nation, all states, the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, all metropolitan areas, all congressional districts, all counties and places, and all tracts and block groups. There are a few geographic changes to note in the 2012 five-year release. The 2012 ACS data release marks the first time estimates are available for public use microdata areas, or PUMAs, and urban areas based on 2010 census definitions. State legislative district and congressional district boundaries have been updated based on the results of the 2010 census, and school districts have been updated to reflect the January 1, 2012 boundaries. Please note the URLs at the bottom of this slide for additional information. The five-year release consists of the following data products: profiles, which contain estimates and percentages on a variety of topics in one table; narrative profile, which is a prose report that describes a geographic area using custom text and graphics; geographic comparison tables, which are exactly what they sound like. They allow you to easily compare geographies to one another; subject tables, which contain estimates and percentages for a more detailed set of information on a particular topic; and finally, detail tables, which contain estimates only, are organized by topic, and as their name implies, are the most detailed tables in the data products package. Before we move on to more details about the data products, it's important to note some survey updates, which are the primary driver behind many of the changes in the 2012 five-year release. In the 2008 ACS, several questions were added to the questionnaire and several questions were modified. As you can see, new questions were introduced on marital history, health insurance coverage, Veterans Service-Connected Disability, and Year of Naturalization. The questions that were modified are disability, relationship, school enrollment, and educational attainment. While disability is shown here as a modified topic, the changes to the questions were significant enough that the new disability data are not considered to be comparable with disability data prior to 2008. 2012 marks the first time that 5 years' worth of data are available for these new and modified topics. There are new detailed tables, subject tables, and lines in the data profiles for health insurance, disability, and relationship to householder. There are new detailed tables and subject tables for marital history, and there are new detailed tables only for service-connected disability and year of naturalization. A full list of the data product changes are available online at the URL at the bottom of the slide. There are also a few new products in the five-year release that are not a direct result of 2008 questionnaire changes. Two new health insurance tables were added based on public interest in healthcare and changes in healthcare laws. These tables show health insurance coverage status and private health insurance by enrollment status for young adults aged 19 to 25. There's also a new detailed table that allows for nativity information to be published for more geographies in Puerto Rico. Some of our more noteworthy table modifications include that the highest category in the year of entry and year of naturalization tables has been shifted from 2000 or later to 2010 or later. The highest category in the year structure built and year householder moved into unit tables has been shifted from 2005 or later to 2010 or later. The term linguistically isolated households has been changed to households with no one age 14 and over who speaks English only or speaks English very well. The place of birth code 463 has been assigned for South Sudan. And to reflect the resolution of ex-Yugoslavia nation statehood, individual lines for Bosnia and Herzegovina, Croatia, Serbia, and Macedonia were added to the table on place of birth for the foreign-born population. Yugoslavia is no longer shown in the table, and rather is now shown in the other Eastern Europe category. In addition to the new and modified data products, a newly revised version of the narrative profile using the five-year ACS data will be available on the American Community Survey website. Note that the one-year and three-year narrative profiles are available on American FactFinder. The narrative profile is a prose report that describes a geographic area by providing custom text and graphics. Here we're showing an example on housing costs. The narrative profile is available for 15 different topic areas. Users can choose to produce a report on all 15 topics or a subset. Reports can be generated for the nation, states, Puerto Rico, counties, places, metropolitan and micropolitan areas, zip code tabulation areas, tracts, and American Indian, Alaska Native areas. To access the new five-year narrative profile, go to the ACS website, click the tab for data and documentation, then data releases, then 2012 data release. Now let's talk about accessing five-year ACS data. You can access the core set of products on American FactFinder, also known as AFF, at factfinder2.census.gov. There are a variety of ways to get to the data. This is one method. Start with the advanced search in the blue bar at the top of the page. Advanced search is highlighted in gold at the top. The Your Selections box in the upper left corner of the page acts like a shopping cart for the different topics, data sets, years, or geographies you want to view products for. It is empty because we have not selected anything yet. Make selections using the tab on the left of the screen. We are using the Topics and Geographies tab. Now let's select the five-year ACS estimates. First, expand the topics list using the triangle. An overlay screen appears. The Topics tab contains topic information on people, housing, and business, industry, and government. It is also where you can select a particular year, product type, program or survey, or data set. To get to a particular data set, expand data set using the plus sign and select the 2012 ACS five-year estimates. You see that the 2012 ACS five-year estimates data set is now in the selections box in the upper left corner. If you are interested in a particular product type or want to know what products are available, expand product type. If you select one of the product types, they will also appear in the selections box. Once you are done making selections, use the Close button in the upper right-hand corner to close the overlay screen. The default geography in American FactFinder is the nation. If you want another geography, select the Geographies tab on the left side. The Geography Selection overlay will appear. Use the drop-down to select another geographic type. The default search method is the List tab. However, you can also use the other tabs to search by geography name, address, or location on a map. In this example, we selected the List option. The drop-down shows the geography types available for the data set you selected. Grayed outlines indicate geographies not applicable to the ACS. The lowest level of five-year geography in American FactFinder is tracked. Block group data are not available in AFF. One way to access the block group data is to use the Summary File Retrieval Tool, available from the ACS website, which we will cover next. Starting at the ACS website, census.gov/ACS, select the Data and Documentation tab, then select the Summary File link. This brings you to the Summary File page of the ACS website. The default year is 2012. The retrieval tool and its accompanying video tutorial are available at the bottom of the page. If you'd like to learn more about accessing ACS block group estimates, there will be a webinar this afternoon at 2 p.m. on this topic. We will provide login information at the end of the webinar. Another method for accessing block group data is through DataFerret. DataFerret is a data analysis and extraction tool that allows data users to customize federal, state, and local data to suit their needs. Using DataFerret, you can develop customized spreadsheets, which can then be turned into graphs and maps without any additional software. Starting from census.gov, click on the Data tab, and then click on Data Tools. We've provided you with a lot of information today, so I want to touch on where you can find some helpful documentation about the ACS. The Data and Documentation section of the ACS website contains a lot of helpful information. For example, links to code lists, subject definitions, group quarters definitions, instructions for applying statistical testing, a link to the comparison guidance document, and a link to the accuracy of the data document. A link to the 2012 data release information is also available from the Data and Documentation page. From this page, select Data Releases, and in the middle of the page, select 2012 Data Release Information. And here we're showing a screenshot of that site. If you are interested in receiving the latest news about the American Community Survey, click on the link at the bottom right corner of the ACS website titled Get Email Updates. As I mentioned at the beginning of the webinar, Seth Amgott from the Public Information Office will be concluding our webinar with a discussion about the new interactive tool called Census Explorer, which is being released for the first time with this year's five-year ACS data release. Seth?
Thank you, Nicole. Nicole just showed the power and breadth of the American Community Survey statistics. And while those impact the lives of many, if not most, Americans by guiding public policy and private investment decisions, the Census Bureau also wanted to make part of that rich data available easily to the general public who might not see themselves as data users or be looking for something specifically from the American Community Survey. That was the origin of Census Explorer. It's an interactive map tool that is a very light version of everything you can find through American Fact Finder and other tools. But you see on this slide the different kinds of display it has. For just eight of the characteristics covered by the American Community Survey, you can see the national view showing every state. You can go down to the state level, down to your county, and then your neighborhood, which is our casual way of referring to census tracts. And you can do that for the long-form data from the previous two censuses from 1990 or 2000, and then for this five-year American Community Survey release, which is centered on 2010. Going to the next slide. And I should note, for each of these views, you can choose between color-coded scheme or bubbles showing the size of the relative size of the statistic for each area. So it's extremely simple to operate. You choose which vintage of data you want, 1990, 2000, or this five-year release. And you choose which statistic you want, be it total population, senior citizens, the foreign-born, high school graduates or greater education, bachelor's degree or more, percentage in the labor force, and homeownership, whether a particular area is what the percentage of owner-occupied houses is, and then median household income. You can show that on any of the three geographies, your county, your state, or your census tract, and then by toggling back and forth through the different vintages of data, you can see how your neighborhood or your state or the nation as a whole have changed over that period of time. You can zoom in once you've chosen one, starting at the national view by states, going drilling down to counties, as you see here, and then going further in to see your census tract or neighborhood. We hope that'll be useful. Again, it does not have the power of Fact Finder or the other data tools, but it is an initial introduction, an easy way of looking at those eight topics. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Seth. Thank you for that demonstration of Census Explorer. We hope that as we open the coffers of that information and that release starts tomorrow, people will dig into that tool, and if you have any questions, please reach out and contact us. So without further ado, we're going to open up the lines for Q&A, and we ask, obviously for those that are interested in asking questions, to ready yourself in the queue by clicking on star 1, and then we'll have our presenters here today to answer any of your questions.
And once again, to ask a question over the phone, dial star, then 1. One moment.
And while we're waiting for people to ready themselves in the queue, Nicole mentioned earlier our upcoming webinar later on today. We whet your appetite talking about tomorrow's release. If you haven't had enough of it, the American Community Survey, we will have this afternoon from 2 to 3:30 a webinar entitled Accessing Block Group Data with American Community Survey Summary File. You see the login information in front of you. We ask that you please visit census.gov /MSO/www/training to view detailed log information and to also look at other upcoming training offerings here at the Census Bureau. Operator, do we have any questions?
We do have questions over the phone. Our first question comes from Jeff Belliveau from Statebook. Your line's open.
Hi. Will this presentation be made available? And if so, where and how do we find it? I wasn't able to see it due to the overwhelming response.
Great question. I appreciate that that question because I did forget to mention. Unfortunately, today's webinar was maxed out. For those who had problems either seeing or listening to the presentation like you did, you can access that archived webinar. We'll have it up in a matter of an hour or so in our press kit, and our press kit is located at the URL on this page here, www.census.gov. If you navigate to our newsroom, once you get to our newsroom, just click on Press Conferences, and you'll see today's webinar title, and you'll be able to access that archived webinar. So for anybody who has issues with accessing the webinar today and can hear my voice, please navigate to the newsroom off of census.gov and click on Press Conferences a couple hours after this presentation, and you'll be able to see this webinar in its entirety. Do you have any other questions, sir?
No, that's it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And our next question comes from Nicole Barrett from First 5 Nebraska. Your line's open.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi. Thank you so much. I have two questions. The first is just a follow-up on the last question. Will you just have the PowerPoint available so you don't have to rewatch the whole thing but can get the PowerPoint with the information?
The slides are actually uploaded already.
Oh,
so
perfect.
If you just want the slides, you can actually go directly to the press kit now and obtain the slides. But the webinar with the audio that you're hearing now will be up in a couple of hours.
Perfect. And then my actual question was, I had a question about the geographies that are uploaded. I know you indicated that they were, they've been updated with all the latest data. I pulled some geographies last week for something else from the census website, and they did not match what was in the state. I'm assuming that you've got the current ones with this data release, but was just a little nervous when I saw that those, you know, legislative district maps and things didn't match what's been out in our state for the last couple of years. So just wanted to clarify how that worked. Or does my question make sense?
I'm not sure. Can I ask what data source you were looking at?
Gosh, I'd have to go back and look. And I can maybe we can follow up and have a separate conversation so that everybody doesn't have to.
Sure. I think what I can do, this is Nicole Scanello here, I think I can just reiterate that the Puma and urban areas geographic definitions are from the 2010 census, and that state legislative districts and congressional districts were redefined based on the results of 2010.
Right.
So there are some geographic boundaries that will be in this release.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was, I think I was doing school district and state legislative districts.
Yes, and school districts were also updated with the January 1st, 2012 boundaries.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. And earlier I jumped the gun. Those slides from today's presentation are actually being uploaded now, so in 5 minutes you should be able to access those slides in our press kit. I appreciate you. Thank you for your patience. And, operator, we'll take our next caller.
Our next question comes from Dave Sheingold from Bergen Records. Your line's open.
Hey, Dave.
Hi. What time is the data going to be available, and will the American Fact Finder be going up right at the same time as well for the new 5-year data?
You talking about tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah, tomorrow we're looking for our standard release time around 10 o'clock in the morning, but definitely our release will be out on the streets by noon.
And we can go. We'll be able to go right to American FactFinder, not through any embargo.
Correct. Correct. Tomorrow's release is not embargoed, so it's going to be wide open to the public tomorrow.
Okay. So it should be around 10 a.m.
No later than noon as well.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome. We're ready for our next caller.
And our next question comes from Marla Chakowski from Agra America. Your line's open.
Hi, yeah, calling with Al Jazeera America. We actually were asking the same question as the previous person, is the 10 a.m. release time, will there be any available information or access to information at that time? I know you're saying between 10 and noon. We're asking because we're trying to, you know, file a story on deadline tomorrow.
Yes, AFF, the American Fact Finder, will be up by 10 o'clock. They have a standard release time, the day of releases, so we are confident in 10 a.m. for American Fact Finder's release going out, but when I mentioned to Dave earlier about prior to noon, I was in reference to our news release and getting that out on the streets, but definitely AFF will be up by 10. Did that answer your question, Marla?
Yeah, I think so. I guess it's be a matter of once that site is accessible at 10 a.m., it'll just be a matter of sorting through. There's no data that's going to be available to access before 10 a.m. tomorrow is what I'm trying to figure out.
That's correct. 10 a.m. Is the best. We do have, 10 a.m. tomorrow is the best. And if you have any problems, obviously, another plug for folks, media that are having issues once the release does come out at 10 a.m. tomorrow, you can contact the Public Information Office by dialing 301-763-3030 or shooting us an email at pio@census.gov. And then for the general public that's on the line as well, you can contact our customer service center directly by dialing 1-800-923-8282. So obviously, if you have any issues when you're trying to access any of our information, whether it's the day of release or any day of the week, you can contact us at these numbers respectively to get assistance.
And just real quickly, there'll be no information released on background at all before tomorrow at 10 a.m., right?
That is correct. This is a release that we're putting out the door without an embargo. So 10 a.m. is when it's being released to everyone. And our next caller, operator.
And once again, to ask a question, and you're with the media, dial star then one. Our next question comes from Steve Wallerzak with Southwest Region Planning Commission, New Hampshire. Your line's open.
Hi, Steve.
Hi. Thank you for the presentation today. I'm curious as to what geography the health insurance information will be available.
The health insurance data is available for all the same geographies.
Okay, so
except for block groups. I'm sorry, I've been told
by
a colleague everything but block groups.
Okay, great. That's good news. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that question. Next caller.
And our next question comes from Don Spetitin from Philadelphia Inquirer. Your line's open.
Hi. Thanks. Another geography question. Are among the geographies city boundaries not just counties, states, et cetera, but cities which vary around the country?
I'm sorry. Could you repeat your question?
So because I'm in Philadelphia happens to be a county and a city, so it's often difficult to compare with other cities. A lot of federal data is collected by counties. Do you have data specifically by other cities?
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Next caller.
And our next question comes from John Dukaski from Philadelphia Inquirer. Your line's open.
Hey, John.
Hi. I just wanted to know how I can find if we're inflation adjusting the ACS data against, say, Census 2000, what CPI multiplier you're using, or where I can find that.
BLS website.
You can go to the BLS website.
That's the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Right. Is there a specific CPI that you're using? I thought instead of the All Urban Consumers, there's a special one that the Census may use.
I'm sorry. I think what we can do is get an answer for you from one of our income experts, and we will get back with you with that. If you call 3030, this 301-763-3030, we can get an answer for you.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you.
And we've got your name and number as well, so we can reach back out to you.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Next caller.
And our next question comes from Bob Coates with North Carolina State Data Center. Your line's open.
Hey, Bob.
Hi. Thanks. I had a question about the Census Explorer tool. You mentioned that there's going to be we'll be able to access data for 8 characteristics for neighborhoods or census tracts, but that's also we'll also be able to compare that data with 2000 and 2000 or 1990. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's Seth Amgott again. Yes, Bob. That's correct.
And those census tracts, since someone pointed out earlier that boundaries do change, those neighborhood or those census tracts, as we look at them for previous data releases, that's going to be the census tract as it was defined for 1990 and 2000, not for as it is now?
That is exactly right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Next caller.
And our next question comes from Eric Grasso from State of Wisconsin. Your line's open.
Yes, thank you. I had a question regarding the PUMS data files. Is that all right to talk about that right now?
Sure.
Okay. It has to do with the occupational coding. I noticed that given the change from the old SOC coding system to the new, that you had a dual coding system within the new PUMS files. Will that continue with the 2008-12, or will they harmonize or unify a coding system into a single occupational code?
I think what we're going to have you do is if you call our 763-3030 number, we'll get a specific answer for you.
Okay.
We don't have anybody with expertise on coding in the room right now. Sorry about that.
Certainly. And then maybe probably a little bit more straightforward question then would be about the regions of the PUMAs, the PUMS regions. Those were reconfigured based upon the 2010 census. Will those be introduced into the 2008-12 PUMS file, or have they been so already with other PUMS files from other ACS periods?
No, this is the redefined boundaries are coming out for the first time in this 5-year release.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Next caller.
And our final question over the phone comes from Josh Davis with Greater Houston Partnership. Your line's open.
Hey, Josh.
Hi. Just a quick question. You mentioned at the beginning 3 release dates, December 17th, February 6th, and March 6th. Could you please recap what will be released on each one of those dates?
Sure. Thank you. On December 17th, we will release the 2012 one-year PUMS file. On February 6th, we will release the 2010 through 2012 3-year PUMS file. And on March 6th, we'll release the 2008 through 2012 5-year PUMS file.
Okay, thank you very much.
And just real quick, bumping back to a couple questions we had early on, I remember Marlo popped in from Al Jazeera and was asking about getting early access to the data. Wanted to make mention for people who are tech savvy. As you know, the Census Bureau does have an API. That API, the app programming interface, will begin at 12:01 a.m. Tomorrow morning. People will have access to that information. So just wanted to give that hint or nod to anyone who wants to get an earlier start at pulling things together. And between now and then, please contact your respective office. If you are public, you can contact the Customer Service Center. If you're from the media, you can conference in with the Public Information Office by dialing 301-763-3030, and we'll make sure that you know how to access our API or have any other additional further questions from the Census Bureau. And from census.gov, if you click on the developer, go to census.gov/developer, that will take you directly to the API website. But if you have any further questions, again, please give us a call to assist. And I'm looking around the room, making sure there aren't any other announcements. Operator, just want to check to make sure we don't have any other callers in the queue.
I have no further questions over the phone.
Great. So that concludes our webinar for today. I'd like to thank everybody for dialing in and participating. And again, if you have any further questions, please reach out to us. Thanks, everyone.
And this concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may disconnect at this time.